Sermons are great, but sometimes it's nice to move from the pulpit to a conversation around the kitchen table. This is Ask Pastor John with pastor and author John Piper. John, for a long time you've placed a premium on racial reconciliation. And I'm wondering, as you continue to push forward on that, have you run across anything lately that concerns you about the dynamics of the conversation today?
Well, in fact, yesterday I had a conversation that just kept me awake last night. It kept me awake, concerned about my own attitudes and concerned about that brother's attitudes, a black brother who is a former pastor, and there's three of us standing, there's four of us standing around. In fact, I was the only white guy. So three black guys and me, and three of those guys are at my church, and one was the guy we were talking to. And here's the thing that just blew me away and made me angry and made me want to kind of wave a little flag. As we began to talk, he asked me about, some theological things that separated me from other white pastors in the city here. And I said, well, yeah, I take a pretty strong stand that God knows the future, for example, and that those who deny that God knows the future, I have serious concerns about. And I could tell by his reaction to that that he didn't share my concern. For him, the issue was, you can still do things together, you can still be one. Everything that came out of his mouth was minimizing doctrinal truth and maximizing pluralism. So we pressed on this, and we went further and further and further, and more diversity and more pluralism and more relativism came out of his mouth until we were on totally different pages, with me becoming more and more forceful in my articulation of doctrines that really matter. You have to know God. He has contours. He is one thing and he's not another thing. And everything coming out of his mouth was, well, you have to tolerate and you have to overlook the differences and you have to ignore those things because you don't have the whole picture and they don't have the whole picture. And here's what I learned. And I'm still trying to process it since it's so fresh. I think this black brother, and I do believe he's a brother, had bought into a white epistemology of the last 200 years that utterly destroys moral backbone. He would have never seen it that way. And many in the black community today don't realize they have abandoned the moral vision of a Martin Luther King and his father and grandfather and on back, where there was solid grasp of moral and spiritual and theological truth that enabled the black church to stand strong against injustice with a clear sense of who God was and who Christ was. No namby-pamby relativistic talk at all undergirding the cause of justice. I don't think the present pluralistic, relativistic, postmodern, white, post-enlightenment way of thinking that has been embraced by many black leaders today could begin to carry forward a moral vision of civil rights that Martin Luther King did. So the irony I wanted to lift up here in response to your question was that this man, this black brother, thinks that he's expressing an authentic black belief in pluralism that will enable us to get together and do more ministry, and when I think he's actually undermining the very thing that enabled the advances that we made 50 years ago. It took a tremendous moral courage to stand against people who would speak in terms of relativism and pluralism in order to make progress in civil rights. So I would just, any listener who thinks that the way forward in race relations is to dumb down doctrine so that you can hang out and not count truth as important, are undermining the very foundation on which we got to stand together to make progress against injustice. and against the kinds of forces that destroy families and destroy cities and destroy kids.
Mm. As with so many discussions, it sounds like he wants the fruit off the limbs of the tree while killing the root.
Yeah, and he doesn't understand that that's happening. Constant questioning of strong conviction with regard to God, because it sounds like strong conviction is going to separate people, whereas dumbing down unites people. But what kind of unity is that? It's not the kind of unity that's going to exalt Christ. It's not kind of the unity that's going to help kids. I told him flat out, I looked right in his face, and I said, he works with kids right now. I said, those kids don't need this, brother. They need truth. They don't need to be told that truth doesn't count because they all have limited perspectives. That's what's going to destroy their lives and send them to jail, get them into drugs, get them in bed with girls, get them into groups with knives, get them painting buildings all over the place because there aren't any firm, strong standards. But
or joining Islam to find a purpose of truth.
Yeah, that's exactly what Thabiti Anibwile did, the good black brothers down in the Cayman Islands now, who's written this excellent two books recently. And he joined the black Islam when he was in college precisely because he saw some standards, somebody who said this is true and that's not true. And then fortunately, it wasn't a kind of mealy-mouthed relativist Christian that came along to talk to him, somebody with some conviction that helped him see the real Christ. And now he's a preacher of the gospel and leading, I think, a strong movement that will bless people. It will bless the poor. It'll bless the city. It'll bless the broken educational systems. It's just, you're so right, Bob. He's severed the root that could bear the fruit, that could turn things around.
So bringing this in for a landing then again, if we're going to have racial reconciliation, it has to be based on
truth. And truth, biblically, with strong, God-centered articulation of the gospel and the sovereignty of God. You know, we'll go off on another tangent if I say this, but I'll try not to. There is a beautiful coming together today, and hundreds are finding it, maybe thousands, of the soul dynamic, as Carl Ellis had expressed it in his book, Free at Last, the soul dynamic in the black church over the years, where they knew God, they saw God, and God that they knew and saw, not systematically, but rather experientially and with some articulation of biblical truth. That God was sovereign, solid, real, and he sustained the black church through slavery and through injustice and through crisis after crisis, so that songs and music are born out of that suffering. That vision of God is amazingly coherent with the Reformed vision of God of John Calvin and Martin Luther and Charles Spurgeon and John Owen, so that there are many hundreds of young, black, thoughtful men and women today who are seeing that correspondence and finding that tradition, that Reformed tradition, as not contrary to, but coherent with what has been deeply held and deeply believed and deeply lived out of in the black tradition. So the common ground that it's going to take, I think, to lift is the full-blown sovereign God of the Bible coming into coherence with the long-experienced sovereign God of the black church.
Thanks for joining us for Ask Pastor John. You might also enjoy our teaching program. Look for it on the front page at desiringgod.org. In 25 minutes or a little less, John Piper unpacks God's Word in his own unique, God-intoxicated style. Look for it at desiringgod.org. And check out our resource library, www.desiringgod.org.